It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love it, and that purple sweatsuit is something that I will be putting on this Sunday, I guarantee you. But yes, this is old logo jet swag. But
I do like that green, though. I got to tell you, I like the army green.
Yeah, and I saw it this morning, and actually last night. I lay out my clothes the night before.
You're a guy that lays out his clothes the night before?
I have to.
Al, do you lay out your clothes the night before?
I do not, but I could turn all my lights on.
Exactly, where I cannot.
So I lay out the clothes.
Yeah, I mean, I can't.
But what are you laying out? You just, like, grab it out of a pile. It's a T-shirt and a pair of jeans.
Sure, okay, great. That wasn't the point of the conversation, but well, absolutely.
So anyway, what I do is, because Gina is sleeping and the girls are sleeping and there's a dog who gets up and it can be loud and wakes everybody up, I lay out the clothes in the bathroom and I close the bathroom door and I have the light on in there, and that's where I get dressed once I get out of the shower.
Yeah, right. I'll lay out some clothes sometimes. Not a lot, but sometimes.
So I laid this out. I said, you know what? I'm going to support the Jets today because they need to win this game. And they need to win it convincingly. And I do believe that they will. But, I just wanted to support the Jets. And someone from the Jets organization, who is a friend that you introduced me to, great guy, reached out and said, you got the old swag on. So we got to get you something new. I said, well, I'm not going to turn that down.
Yeah, of course not.
I'm not turning that down. I'll represent the – you want to give me some new Jet swag? I'll wear some new Jet swag.
But I will tell you, that it is a time for the Jets to put the hammer down and knock off with the nonsense, listen to the Patriots at home. Patriots have won 8 straight games against the Jets at home. Mm. Think about that for a second. Now, obviously, I think the Jets won last year up in New England, last game of the season.
That's right. Yep.
So it's time now. This game is real. It means something for both teams. Gerard Mayo is playing a very careful type of football. You know, it was interesting. Tiki and I were doing some football talk last night for some of the clients here of Odyssey.
Chalk talk?
Yeah, a little chalk talk, but we didn't have any chalk.
Oh, okay.
And Tiki brought up a very good point with the way that Gerard Mayo is playing, and it's really about winning football games first and foremost, as opposed to playing Drake May, the rookie quarterback. You know, there's a couple of ways to think about it, and I didn't think about this the way that Tiki laid it out for me and for us last night, and he's right. When you're a new coach and you're taking over, especially when you're replacing one of the greatest coaches of all time, but you still understand the Patriot culture because you've been there, you played there as a player. You're 38 years old, you're young, you want to win. And he knows the best way to win a game if you are the Patriots is play great defense, as Phil Simms told us about on Wednesday.
Yeah.
But also play a careful brand of offense that is...
Thanks again, Chalky McChalkface.
Play a brand of offense that's not going to turn the football over. So they have a +2 turnover ratio. They don't turn the ball over. They run it a lot. And then I'm thinking, is C.J. Mosley playing tonight?
He's a 50-50. I mean...
Obviously, Jermaine Johnson is out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all these things kind of tell you that this game is going to be low scoring, and it because of the way that they play defense and the difficulties that they have already presented the Bengals. And, of course, last week it was Seattle. But Seattle had two guys that, you know, won for big numbers at wide receiver. So the Jets, I think, tonight should be able to throw the ball effectively.
Yeah, I haven't talked to every Jet fan in my life about this game, but I do feel like they are very confident in beating this team tonight, and they should be. I don't think there's any like old Patriot ghosts that are in their heads because none of those guys are there anymore. It's a completely different team, a completely different situation. Aaron Rodgers is healthy. You got a win last week. I mean, this is just one of those. You're a 6.5-point favorite. I thought it would be maybe a little bit more than that, but I understand that these games have been close with the Patriots, but... I mean, this is a turning point type of night. Beat this team at home. You never can do it. You're now the team that's expected to do something. They're not. They're rebuilding. You know, flip the script spot.
You know, I also like the explosion and the impact that Breece Hall is having. Now, a little bit overshadowed just by Braylon Allen coming on to the scene. But he still is the main guy. He is the main guy, and he's the guy that sets the tone for the team. That catch that he made last week in the end zone against Tennessee was beautiful. I mean, I'm running back going up like a wide receiver making a touchdown catch like
that. And
then
the story behind it, too, yes. Where he said, hey, if I got a backer on me, throw it up there, and he did.
I mean, that is a terrific play. I mean that when I think of what I want to say Saquon Barkley should be able to do, it's plays like that. And he is able to do that.
He did in Brazil, didn't he?
Yeah, he's able to make plays like that.
Yeah.
But remember, Breece wasn't a first-round draft choice. And, you know, all of a sudden he's turned out to be this really terrific player for the Jets. You know, it's interesting. When you do look at all these different stat packs that you get, and I'm always looking for Jets and Giants players to see if they are on the positive side of the stat packs. And one of the stat packs actually had Breece Hall as one of the top players with 90 or more yards from scrimmage since 2023. Christian McCaffrey is first on that list with 11 games in that category. The second guy on that list with 9 games is our two guys, Tyreek Hill and Breece Hall.
Yeah, and that's why in a lot of fantasy drafts, Breece Hall was drafted as high as he was. I mean, everybody's been seeing his production. I do think, though, that you know, the combination of him and Braylon Allen can be very scary. I mean, Braylon Allen coming on last week in the way that he did, he just looks different out there. He looks bigger, faster. He's so young, too. That guy, I mean, how many guys look like that? Seriously.
Especially with the number zero.
I mean, when I saw a little bit of him preseason, whatever, but like those runs last week, I was like, wow. He starts getting, as they say, going downhill. You know, try tackling that guy.
You know, if Aaron Rodgers has a running game like this, like he had in Green Bay, that this is when he becomes deadly because he doesn't have to throw the ball 35 times a game.
Yeah, exactly.
And the beauty about him being 40 years old is the guys around him, he's handing it off to a 20-year-old running back.
Yep.
And he's got Breece Halls in his third year. He's got Garrett Wilson in his third year.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these young guys that are around him, and he has a solid offensive line. I mean, he should be able to, you know, pick apart everyone they're playing, and he should never put himself in jeopardy unless it's late in the game and you have to try to do something to win the game. That's the only time that I think he has to put himself in jeopardy. Other than that, he just has to rely on his experience, his arm strength, and his accuracy and his quick release. That's it.
All right, let's get some calls in, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Joe in Parsippany. What's going on, Joe?
Good morning, guys. Your optimism, I'm just driving. I'm almost at work. I want to run through a freaking wall right now, guys. I want to run through a wall. I'm so ready for this game tonight. We are not the same old Jets. And the reason I called in, I tried calling in you guys the other day, but I'm really fired up about this clip that keeps running about Tiki calling Jets fans lazy. Like, that's not us. We're the ones. We are the harshest critics of our team when this team isn't doing what they're expected to do. And credit to your Vikings, Gio, because in week two they smoked the Niners. Like, I was so impressed with that. But you know what? When we're not performing up to our standards, the Jets fans we're critiquing our team the hardest. We really are.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, and I think that what Tiki was saying in that full clip, if you go back, is that a lot of people evaluating the Jets would lock on to, you know, one or two players and say that it was the most talented roster. If you looked a little deeper, maybe it wasn't. I disagreed with that. I do think there's a ton of talent there. Obviously, less talent when C.J. Mosley potentially out, Jermaine Johnson potentially out, Hassan Reddick not being signed. There are some issues there, but he was also talking about the wide receivers and saying that Garrett Wilson's the only one worth anything in that wide receiver room. So that you go back and listen to the whole clip and what he was saying. But yeah, I do agree that Jet fans are highly critical of their team.
100%
yeah.
They are.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And I will say that nobody knows their fans. I mean, their team's better than the hardcore fans of those teams.
Yeah,
no matter
of course.
What team it is.
Right.
And I just think that we are the biggest critics of our team. So, like, when the Rangers start playing hockey now, you know, I'm going to know the team inside and out, and I'm going to know what I think needs to be done in order for them to get to the next level. And it's just natural that we are allowed to criticize our teams, and we're allowed to also believe that our team has the ability to go all the way if in fact we have the players. So when you take a look at the Jets, We just talked about two young running backs. We talked about a young wide receiver. We talked about a solid offensive line. We talk about a top-end corner. We talk about a top-end two linebackers with Quincy Williams and C.J. Mosley. We talk about Quinnen Williams and Jermaine Johnson before he got hurt. I mean, this
Will McDonald had the best game of his life last week.
Exactly.
Too.
So you have enough really good, solid players there to look at and say, yeah, they should be good and they should win the far majority.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They have their early season games just simply because of the quarterbacks they're playing and the mistakes that those guys are going to make.
Right. And the biggest thing, as we know, and we've said many, many times, a healthy Aaron Rodgers getting rid of the ball in the way that he is, coupled with a strong running game, should be something that keeps them in every single game they play. Let's go to Joe in Princeton. What's going on, Joe?
Yeah, hey, good morning, guys. Hey, kind of on that same subject, you know, as we get deeper into the season, I am a little bit concerned about the coaching here. I feel like everything they're doing on offense is just because they've been more talented than the other team. Like the Breece Hall touchdown on that go route, he just ran by that guy. That's not anything special. So I'm curious.
Well, that's special. That is special. And let me tell you why it's special. Because, as Gio told you, the story behind that play and the fact that you can go to a 40-year-old quarterback and say, hey, if I got this matchup, this is what I'm going to do, that doesn't happen with Zach Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen with younger quarterbacks who are uncertain about what the hell they're doing. But when you do have a 40-year-old back there who's a bona fide Hall of Famer, then you know what? This is the kind of stuff that you want done. That's a great play.
Yeah, and that's something that Breece Hall probably learned from Aaron Rodgers as well in practicing with him, you know, matchups and what you want to see and what you want to do in those situations. And they executed it perfectly. And, yeah, the backer did keep up with them, but Aaron Rodgers trusted that Breece Hall had a half a step on him, put the ball exactly where it needed to be, and Breece Hall caught it. This is great.
That is exactly what is supposed to be going on. And you heard Rob Saleh talk about Aaron's impact on everybody on the team, but most impactful is at the line of scrimmage, on the sideline, discussing things that are going on the field, and then reacting to them in real time. That's something that Hall of Fame quarterbacks do.
Jim's out in Pittsburgh. What's going on, Jim?
Good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I watch your show. I like it a lot. Well, let me preface this. I'm 81 years old, so I've been watching football since Bobby Lane played for Detroit with no face mask.
Yeah.
So my question, I want to know, explain to this old man who moved from Louisiana to Pittsburgh, what is it with logistics? It caused Detroit not to go to the Super Bowl, and it caused Philadelphia to lose the other night.
It's not logistics, it's analytics.
Oh, excuse me. I knew it was something with it.
Yeah, yes. Ticks, yes, analytics.
It doesn't make any sense. Well, it doesn't make any sense to an old man.
I know, Jimmy. Jimmy. The game has changed.
All go for field goal.
I know, huh? Jimmy. The game has changed significantly since the mid-2000s when the rules were changed to benefit the offense. And the offense, coaches, players, my buddy Chris Collinsworth explained this to me from his Pro Football Focus perspective, that the analytics have really shifted the way that coaches make decisions in games. And some of the younger coaches tend to be a little bit more aggressive. Like Brandon Staley was very aggressive in San Diego. And he can say, you know, to the media after the game, you know what? Look, we had a 52% chance of making it as opposed to a 48% chance of failing. So I'm going to go with the odds and I'm going to go with my players. Now, every game's a little bit different. All the variables, depending on who your quarterback is, what the situation is, you know, you wonder whether or not, you know, coaches, you know, take that into account. And I'd like to think that they do. And I'll give you one prime example of when that happened and when a coach really, I would say, broke through with the media and made people realize that this was going to be the case. And it was a game between New England and Indianapolis in Indianapolis. New England goes for it on 4th and 2 on their side of the 50-yard line. They complete the pass. I believe it was to Wes Welker, and it was just short. And Peyton Manning gets the ball back on his side of the 50. They go right down the field. They score a touchdown. They win the game. And they asked Bill Belichick after the game, why did you go for it on 4th down and 2 on your side as opposed to punting it? And Bill Belichick said, were you watching the game? Did you realize that my defense couldn't stop Peyton Manning? Uh-huh. Do you understand why I made that decision now?
Yeah, dumbass.
And basically the media got schooled because here's the greatest coach in the history of the league, basically telling you why his whole mindset has changed because of the quarterbacks that you're playing against and the rules that have been changed within the body of the game over the last 20 years.
Quickly, let's go to Anthony. He's calling from Staten Island. What's going on, Anthony?
Hey, what's up, guys? Boomer and Gio, big fan. We're actually out here. I'm with a big group of guys. We're from DSNY, Department of Sanitation. I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to the Boomer Esiason Foundation for Cystic Fibrosis. We always appreciate you sponsoring the event. We were just over at Park 3. You got a table set up. I was with Mike Hill. And, you know, nothing but good things about you guys. We really appreciate everything that you guys bring to this outing. And we appreciate you coming out last year. It was awesome. You're throwing the football around with the guys. But we're having a great time. I just wanted to take some time and thank you for everything that you do for this foundation.
Oh, here. Anthony, Anthony, thank you so much. I should be the one thanking you, not you thanking me. And we're all in this together. And, you know, the Department of Sanitation, you know, we love you guys. You've been big supporters of ours for over 10 years now. Mike Hill from my office is there.
Yeah, and Mike Hill, by the way, Anthony, did you know Mike Hill ripped his scrotum open while he was on the 40-mile bike tour? He ran over one of the paraplegic bikers. Yeah.
Live right now, I got Mike Hill walking up the 6th hole par 3. At Diker Beach Golf Course, he has a big smile on his face. He doesn't know that you just told me that he tore his scrotum, but I'm definitely going to let him know that you told me this.
Scrotum shot.
A lot. Our conversation, our next conversation is going to have
to tell him it's a great story,
yeah,
Anthony.
Yeah, wonderful story.
It's a great story to sit there and chop it up as you're waiting for the group in front of you to finish on the green. He ripped his scrotum open after he ran over a paraplegic biker at the 40-mile bike tour in New York City. And finished the 40
he did,
miles.
No, he did. I mean,
with
like,
a torn apart scroto sac.
You got some set of stones bringing that up, given your own history at the bike tour.
What do you mean? I finished it twice.
You did finish it twice, but you got caught up in an accordion of bike
not
riders that all fell on each other.
Yeah, not
and,
my fault.
So you're making fun of him tearing his scroto sac.
How am I making fun of him?
When you just
it's a story. It's a great story.
You had a German serious cyclist fall on you and screaming at you.
Yeah, and I got up and I finished just like Mike finished with a ripped up scrotum. So it's just both of us, and there's no adversity that we can't overcome in that 40-mile bike tour.
Yeah, you know, and you're not the only one, and Mike wasn't the only one from my office to get hurt. Grace, who's been working for the last couple of years for us, went over our handlebars going down, I think, the 59th Street Bridge.
Yeah, that's oof. Did she finish?
And she's an athlete.
Really?
Yeah, but she finished. She scraped her knee. I'm like,
okay.
Come on.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, but I mean, listen, I am not making fun of Mike at all. It's a great story how he was able to finish that. He was taking pictures. He was out there.
I'll tell you what, I see the video of you. I think of the Tour de France.
Yeah, look at that. I'm like Floyd Landis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you had issues this past bike tour, though. You had a tire issue or something. You had some issues.
No, I had a cleat issue on the bottom of my shoe. that, you know, clips into the pedal.
Yeah, there was something else, though, about the chain or something. I caught on the chain. You had some issues. I was told you had some issues.
Well, that, yeah, it's 40 miles, and I'm pumping it, and I'm going 100. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm really, it's more than a tour for me. I mean, it's, you know, I'm 63, and I like to get it done, you know, in a certain amount of time and really actually compete.
Compete?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wait, listen, man, I did it twice. It was very rewarding. And Mike felt the same way. You know, even when I had the German guy screaming at me, he had the ripped open scrotum.
And the paraplegic screaming at him.
Yeah, you know, it was, yeah, it was amazing. Hey, look at that. There's me and Sal Graziano just riding through Central Park. Look at that. Couple of Italians from Sayville getting it done. Taking over the world, and you with a light on for no reason. I don't understand.
That's the bike. The bike's light goes on automatically.
Is that Capone next to you?
No.
Looks like Capone, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. I think it is Capone.
Look at Capone.
A little meatball.
A calzone with legs. The NFL on TNT, and it says Patriots 0, Jets 45.
Yeah, I remember that game.
9 minutes to go. Have you, people been sending you this?
Yeah, they've been sending me that. But
you see this, Jerry, right
no,
there?
No, that's cool.
Yeah, Boomer and Ronnie Lott. It's pretty cool. You know what? I'll send it to Stephen Waldron and put it up on CBS Sports Network.
What year was that?
You're asking me, was your life?
I think it was 93.
I don't remember.
Yeah, but I remember about that game. I you got to check on this one, Al, for me, because I think I have a recollection that I had 17 completions in a row in that game to start the game.
Wow.
What year is this?
93 against the Patriots Thursday night, and Branning Nagel was our backup quarterback. I come over the sideline. And he goes, hey, you know, you got 17 completions in a row.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, really? I had no clue.
And then the next one.
And then in the next series, we go out there. We have a little wide route to the Johnny Johnson or to Brad Baxter or to somebody. And I throw it at their feet.
Like, yep.
God damn it.
Always works out that way.
And I think the completion record was like 21 completions in a row, I think.
Yeah, you know what? Surprising to me in that picture is how like terrible the jerseys look.
They're big.
Yeah, but they were
fake. They were like screened on numbers.
Yes,
yeah, they're
really
screened on numbers. Yeah,
it looks terrible. It looks like the practice
Bengal uniforms are even worse.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I mean, these look bad.
Were
man.
Those teammate or league made?
I'm assuming they were league made, and they weren't nearly tailored as much.
I mean, the NFL, there you go, right there. Yeah.
Look at that hat. That's an Apex One hat.
Yeah, that looks cool. But look at those jerseys. The screened-on jersey, they're not even sewn on.
Yeah, it was terrible.
There it is. Ronnie Lott and Boomer Esiason saying, we just beat the brakes off the Patriots.
That was Parcells and Bledsoe.
Yeah, you were 17-21 for 215.
Yeah.
Only one touchdown, though, out of 45 points.
And not impressive.
So you went 17 straight and then 0 for 4, last four?
I actually think so. Maybe it was 15. I don't remember. Maybe it could have been 15 or 17. I forget what it was. Or maybe 16. Who knows?
Anything else you guys want to hit him with?
I don't remember the NFL on TNT.
Nitro. Used to be on Sunday night and then the occasional Thursday nights.
I want to say that was the half or the post game where I did it with Phil Simms. And Phil Simms was still playing.
On TNT.
That was his last year with the Giants, and I want to say he may have come over and done halftime with us.
That'd be one hell of a memory if he'd nailed that one. We'll try to find that. Funhouse will find it for us.
Post-game. Maybe it was post-game with me and Phil Simms.
Do you remember the weather?
Oh, head-to-head career matchups between me and Phil. Look at this.
Wow. You got to save that. Guys, save that for Wednesday. Save that for Wednesday. Take it off the screen. Don't let Phil see it now. We want to surprise him for that.
Phil.
Promo code Phil.
Yes. What'd you say, Al? You said something to me?
Do you remember the weather of that game?
Was that game in September or early October?
This was a September 26th.
Yeah, so it was a nice day. Probably about 62 degrees that night, and I think it was still and clear.
68 degrees, wind 14 miles per hour.
Oh, windy.
But clear.
Doesn't say.
Okay.
All right.
I remember it was a nice night.
Yeah.
But it was always windy at the Meadowlands.
Always, yes.
The old Giants winds. Stadium, that was one of the worst.
Swirling winds.
Yes.
All right, Jerry, let's hear it, man. What do you got for
Good
us?
Morning, brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. Yankees beat the Mariners 2-1-10, and our thriving player of the game is one Anthony Rizzo.
2-0. Swinging a liner, right field, base hit. Here comes Dominguez. He'll score easily. It's an RBI single for Anthony Rizzo. And the Yankees score early for a second straight night in Seattle. They're up 1-0 here in the second.
Now, Rizzo would also snap a 1-1 tie in the 10th with an RBI double. He's our Yankees thriving player of the game. Brought to you by ThriveWell, New York's premier infusion and injection center. Visit ThriveWellInfusion.com. With the win, they also clinched a playoff spot. Here is Anthony Volpe. Well, here's first Rizzo taking us through the 10th inning at bat, which gave him the lead again.
We got a guy in second there, so definitely looking to be aggressive and just get the runner over at any means possible. And, you know, to get it down there in the corner and get on second is huge for us.
Made it nice and easy, and then you would get the pitching doing the job with Ian Hamilton earning the save, Luke Weaver ending in 2/3 for the win. Here's Volpe with Susan celebrating as they should as they are now playoff bound.
Incredible. I mean, I didn't get to experience this last year, so it's what we work for the whole season, so celebrate with everyone that's been a part of it.
Gleyber Torres knows big difference a year can make.
Last year was a fell year for us, but this year we made it, and enjoy right now.
Enjoy right now. So much more to do, according to Aaron Judge.
You know, I know everybody in this room knows that we're out there hunting a division, and, you know, that's the first goal going into the postseason, but I think punching our ticket in there is something special, so we want to celebrate tonight and then get ready for tomorrow.
As they did. 5-game lead on the Orioles, who lost to the Giants. Here was Jazz Chisholm. Loves being a Yankee, and why wouldn't he?
Tosh lived up to my expectations, man. I mean, I love being a Yankee. These guys are making it great, and we're going to go win a World Series.
A lot of Instagram Chisholm lives scores. With him, too.
Chisholm scores. We're going to go win a World Series.
Yeah, that's what he said.
That's confidence.
Mm. They got to get past the Astros.
Okay.
And by the way, your Tigers did win again last night. They swept the Twins half game out now for that third wild card.
That's really a great story in Major League Baseball, that the Tigers are there. And how about this, the White Sox have to go 7-2 over their last 9 games so they don't break the Mets' 1962 loss record. No.
No, not, wow. Wow. No,
I saved that for this audience.
Wow. All right. Very good.
Well, a couple of things. Tarek Skubal won last night. He's got 17 wins for the Tigers. And then who you were just talking about?
The White Sox.
They won a series. I think they won their first series of the season this weekend, something like that.
36-117.
Yeah, I know. Terrible.
Nine games left. 3 more losses. They tie the Mets. And 4 more losses. They'll set the record for futility.
Speaking of the Mets.
1-2. Line towards center field. That's a base hit for Vientos. Alonso scores. Taylor getting waved in. The throw goes to second. 2-run single for Vientos. 3-0 Mets in the bottom of the fourth inning.
And they were just getting started. 9 runs in that fourth. They beat the Nationals 10-0. Keith Rad, Mets Odyssey Radio. Luis Angel Acuna, an RBI single in the fourth, a home run in the eighth. Marte Nimmo doing the job as well. Nimmo a 3-run homer. Here was Nimmo playing good baseball. This was on SNY.
Our starting pitching is unbelievable right now. I mean, hats off to them. They've been giving us a lot of time to be able to break through, and our starting pitching has been amazing.
Yep, and the latest was last night, Jose
Quintana. How about
Quintana.
That? Their starting pitching has been amazing.
I would say best in baseball since June.
Right, and given the fact of what they tried to do last year.
Mm-hmm.
David Stearns deserves a lot of credit, man.
Pretty good. Pretty good. And Kodai Senga said before the game he is trying to get back to have some part in this, but if he's not 100%, he won't
pitch. Yeah, he had a setback, though. He's changing a light bulb and the dust went in his eyes.
There you go. It's very difficult to pitch if you can't see.
Your eye looks worse.
I mean, I feel fine.
You do?
Yeah, I feel fine. I keep flushing it out. It'll be fine.
All right, just keep flushing.
And keep flushing. From the NFL, you've got the Jets and the Patriots tonight for MetLife Stadium. The Giants playing Cleveland Sunday. How about this? Packers-Titans Sunday? Here is Jordan Love not shutting the door on playing.
I'm going to take the week and just take it day by day and see how it feels. But I'm not going to make any decision on that now. You know, I'm hopeful that I'll get to that point where I can get in there. But we're just going to, you know, take it day by day and see.
Would never have thought that after
he was done for the year.
That's what it looked like.
His knee popped.
And Andy Dalton starts for the Panthers this weekend. Here's Baker Mayfield, who's now in Tampa but was in Carolina. He says Bryce Young will be fine.
It's a matter of the pieces around you, the coaches, and for Bryce, a guy that, you know,
I can relate to this, finding that belief within yourself again, and he'll get it. His story's far, far from finished.
Far from finished. But again, it will be Andy Dalton this weekend. And I'll leave you with this one from the world of football, soccer, that is. There's a show right here on CBS Sports Network called Golazo.
Golazo. Yeah.
Golazo, that too. Hosted by Jamie Carragher. One of the analysts is Micah Richards, who was discussing his interaction with David Beckham. I guess he was in studio for something. It's 30 seconds as you hear how things went.
David Beckham was in the building. Have you composed yourself?
Yeah, I've recovered now.
You recovered?
It was a great moment, though, wasn't it?
Do you think it was a great moment for him?
Of course, it makes.
You felt a bit uncomfortable, or?
Yeah,
I think Mike exited that very quickly when David came into
the room. Didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. I got his sticky stuff as well, didn't I? The honey came.
Sorry.
The honey. What is wrong with you lot's minds? It says on the honey, David Beckham sticky stuff.
I don't know what the hell's going on there.
They don't know what the hell's going on here.
I'm not sure if they do or they don't.
Right.
But that was right here on CBS Sports Network.
Wow. You get laughs in the morning and laughs at night.
I guess
so.
On CBS Sports Network, yes. We've got sticky stuff jokes all day long here on CBS Sports Network. Actually, you know, there's a lot of things that have come up from that game we were talking about. Mm.
Halftime, people at the game, the actual stats with the Ronnie Lott Boomer Esiason picture of the 42-0 on TNT. So we're going to take a break and get to all of that, because during the course of Jerry's update, there's just a lot of information that was flooding in. So we want to go back to that and play This Is Your Life, Boomer Esiason.
Okay, nice. Sounds good.
Next. Sticky stuff. First off, I get a text from both Joey from Yonkers, who is the semi-resident statistician here on Boomer and Geo. And he had your stats, but also Vin Parisi, he calls some St. John's games, college basketball guy, local guy. He found the L.A. Times article. It says Jets quarterback completes first 13 passes.
Oh, 13, okay.
In 45-7 route of New England.
30 years ago, all right? So I'm trying to do the best I can.
Why are you getting defensive here? I'm just
because
trying to,
all right, okay.
No, but people were asking. So
all right, okay.
And the good news is that means you completed a pass after that, because we thought you had completed all your passes and you were just all incompletions.
Oh, yeah, you're right. We're just trying to get it right.
I'm sorry.
You just got really defensive.
I know, I got very sensitive about these things.
And you also, by the way, it says in this article, you set a team record with 18 completions in a row over two games.
Oh, that's what it was.
So
Browning told me that I had not just 13 in that game, but he counted the game before that.
Yeah.
And that's what he had said to me.
There you go.
Okay.
See?
There you go. Okay.
All right.
So at least I was as close to being perfect as possible.
Yeah, no one's holding it against you. It's okay. We're just going back, having some good nostalgia here.
I never want to embellish any of it.
Of course not. Of course.
Okay.
And then also you brought up the fact that Phil Sims was a part of that TNT broadcast as an active player.
Yes.
And you said, I think that was the game. So Al Dukes found it, and indeed was that game.
Actually, Danny in Washington Heights, I should give credit.
I'm glad everybody on our staff is out there working for us in the streets of New York City.
So this is there's two broadcasters first talking. I don't know who they are. They don't look familiar. But then
one's Brent Musburger, isn't it?
No.
It's not Brent Musburger?
No. So maybe you hear them here.
Norman Jr., Boomer Esiason has joined us. His New York Jets playing very well. And Boomer, this is a real first here. And as Kevin said, as big as it gets, we got both the New York quarterbacks with us. So thanks for joining us. Congratulations on that game today.
Well, thank you very much. It was a total victory. As Phil will tell you, that our defense played terrific. You know, they forced Drew into some, you know, bad decisions, but they took advantage of the fact that he was a young quarterback. We both remember what that was like. So I told Coach Parcells after the game that he has a great one. Good humor.
Well, there you go. Okay.
So do you see? I tried to show you these two guys.
I see it. Yes.
Who are they?
Oh, I can't. Oh, I couldn't tell from that
one. One guy is Kevin Kiley.
Oh, Kevin Kiley?
Because I'm looking at who worked on that show.
Okay.
And then the host was either Fred Hickman, Bob Neal.
Bob Neal. It's Bob Neal. Bob Fred Neal. Hickman, black guy. Bob Neal. It's definitely Bob Neal.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I kind of remembered it accurately. It was post-game.
It's nice you gave credit to the defense. Smart.
Of course.
As Phil will tell you. And then
Phil.
Phil. That's what you said, as Phil will tell you. It was the defense.
Phil.
Did the guy call you Norman Jr.?
Yeah, I'm not a junior.
That was weird.
Norman Julius.
Right, yeah. But not a junior.
He goes, oh, Norman Jr.
Yeah.
Boomer Esiason. Bob Neal and Kevin Kiley?
Kevin Kiley, yes.
Wow.
What do you mean, wow?
I don't remember this.
Wow. Well, 93, how old were you?
I was 11.
Yeah, so why would you remember any of it?
I don't know. I mean, I know who George Washington is. I wasn't alive for that.
He was a president.
Okay.
A football announcer.
Is sure Kevin Kiley is the name?
Yeah, he references Kevin, and on their Wikipedia page, Kevin Kiley was there those years.
How do you spell Kiley?
K-I-L-E-Y.
Okay.
He was a talk show host.
ESPN, too, I remember, right?
And he was a talk show host, locally sports talk host in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Oh, there he is. I see him now. Look at that. Yep. Radio host. Kevin Kiley blasts Bills for hiring female coach.
That was pre-woke, I guess.
That was January 21st, 2016. I mean, that's what comes up. The first thing. All right, here. Look, there's no place for a woman in professional sports, in football, coaching men, Kiley said. Men will not take to it. If you have 10 men on special teams, 8 of them will be mumbling under their breath. You're setting her up to fail. It's not her fault. It's the idiots who hired her. Wow. What a take, Kevin Kiley. Hot takes all those years later after sitting on the set with you and Phil. Phil. Use promo code.
Phil.
Phil. all right, so there you go. And by the way, I did get one update tonight. It was for tonight. The Jets bus, the Winters Brothers Jets bus, is being polished as we speak. It'll be leaving at 2 p.m.,
Wow.
And Joe Beningo will be sitting next to the great Sean Winters. He said it's going to be a tough game, nothing easy in the NFL.
So Joe Beningo's going with the Winters Brothers now?
Joe Beningo.
Oh,
yes,
man.
He'll be sitting right next to Sean Winters, the coveted seat next to Sean Winters.
Oh, here we
go
again.
Are they picking him up, or is he going out there? And then?
No, I'm sure that he's not leaving.
This is, you know what this is.
What?
Al, do you know what this is?
Leech spot.
100%. And by the way, it's a double leech spot.
Yeah, I guess it kind of is by proxy a double leech.
It's like Salicata. It's like all these guys around here.
Double leech spot.
Leeching, and more leeching going on.
Well, you know, it was. But tell me if this is a leech spot or not. So Joe came on the air one day and said he wanted to bring his granddaughter to a Jets game.
Oh, here we go. Now it's all about the children. It's like when Sal said, I want to bring my nephew to
exactly.
an Islanders game.
So he
let me call Mr. Ledecky, and John Ledecky's going to, you know, open his box to me and my family, even though I'm supposedly a Ranger fan. And, you know, the only reason he knows Ledecky is because of you.
Yeah, so, all right. But
and the only reason you know Ledecky is because of me.
Yes, that's all
so that's
right.
Like, so it's a double leech spot, but you and I are partners. It's different.
Right. All right, let me just finish this, though. So Joe goes on the air and says that. Sean Winters then reaches out to me and goes, I'd like to bring Joe and his grandkid to the game. Can you
Sean
set
Winters
us up?
Sean Winters is a man of the people, and he likes also, making people happy. Man,
it's a symbiotic leech spot because, you know, Sean wants to hang out with Joe.
Right. He wants to hang out, and they're big Jet fans. So I set the two of them up. Is that?
You know, the thing about it is, like, if you're sitting, you're Sean Winters, like, you're so positive.
Yeah.
The guy is so positive.
He's the most positive Jet fan I've ever been around.
1-15 going into the 17th game, and he's going to be at the game.
Yeah.
He's going to be cheering for his team. He doesn't care about draft choices or any of that crap. He wants his team to win.
Mm. Yeah, so
he's going to be sitting next to the most negative Jet fan in the history of the franchise.
All right, so this is what I need to know to make sure if it's a leech spot or not a leech spot. So the first one I brokered between the two of those guys. It's a leech spot if Joe then goes now back to Sean
without
and says,
saying anything to you.
Like Sal did. Like, hey, do you think Sean would be cool if I went to another game?
I bet you Sean reached out to Joe.
If Sean reached out to Joe, it's not a leech spot.
It's a different story, but...
Symbiotic leech spot.
Yeah.
Like Sal, he went right back to the Islanders.
I mean,
after
right
I introduced
back.
Him, I said, hey, come be my guest at the box. Mr. Ledecky would like us to be there, the whole thing. And then he just went...
Yeah, that's a backdoor leech spot.
Yeah,
right, back but door. You know how, like, we always talk about quarterbacks not having an awareness in the pocket?
Yeah.
There's such a lack of awareness when it comes to stuff like this.
I agree.
Here.
Yeah, that's yeah. So, Well, I just hope it's a good night for the two of them.
But you didn't answer the question. Sean reach out to Joe?
I don't know.
Reach out to Sean?
I don't know. I don't have the answer. I have the answer.
Oh, you do have the answer.
Just came up the second I picked up my phone.
I'm going to say that Sean reached out to Joe.
He did.
Okay.
So not technically a leech spot.
Yeah, but it really is.
No, I disagree.
Sean, it's out of the goodness of Sean's heart that he's doing this.
Yeah, he is a wonderful, generous man.
Like one of the most.
No, and you've been there, Eddie, so you know what we're talking about. But I don't see you reaching back to Sean Winters or anybody. I mean, you went your one time. You had a great time.
I've actually went twice.
Oh, you did?
Because he, as soon as the schedule came out, he texted me.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. See, that's the kind of guy he is. See?
And then this year, I saw when the thing was, and I'm going to be in, it's the last week of the season, I'm going to be in Wyoming, so I'm out.
Yarn school or something? What are you doing?
No, this is a wolf safari situation. Which, with Natural Habitat Adventures. Going to see the wolves in Yellowstone in January.
Wolf safari situation. Come on. I'd never heard of that.
Me neither.
Glad I asked.
It actually sounds pretty cool, but I just did that. I did not expect that at all.
I'm sorry, Sean. I cannot be attending the Jets-Dolphins game. I'll be wolf-watching.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.